are so glad to have you.
Welcome to the sacred space, where we know that we do not need to think alike to love alike, where we know that the questions we share are key to growing. This is a community where we know it takes everyone to make everyone free. Regardless of who you love and where you come from, you are welcome here. Whether you are pagan, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist, none of the above, or something else entirely, you are welcome here. Where we know that the things that make you special are both visible and invisible, and are valued here. Here, where we strive to cultivate the spirit and serve one another in that search for justice, we welcome you.
If this is your first time here, we hope you will stop by our welcome table in the social hall so we can get to know you a little better. Here you will find a community of caring and sharing. In your printed bulletin, you will find much more information about the programs of our church. There are many, many ways to get involved, and we hope you will join us in creating our community together.
This morning, you are invited to light a chalice on the back of the sanctuary and write in our milestone book. If you wish, we'll add your joy or sorrow to this morning's pastoral prayer or the caring corner in our bulletin.
This morning, I would like to invite the children or youth to come down and help us light the chalice and write our down. Now, like this flaming chalice, igniting a flame within each of us. When this flame burns, we burn brighter. We light this flaming chalice to become one. We are drawn to the flame we ignite this morning, a flame that draws a circle around this blessed community. We light this flaming chalice to become one. We light this flaming chalice to call all who are here into community. We light this flaming chalice to draw together. We light this flaming chalice to become one. Our reading today. Our reading today. Is called Welcome and Listen, adapted by Reverend Dr. Well, Hannemore, Minister of Religious Education at Shelter Rock Unitarian Universalist Church. Though you have broken your vows 1,000 times, come, yet again come. These words of Rumi speak to the welcome that is at the heart of Unitarian Universalism. We seek to be a home for all who desire our company. We seek to make a welcome for all those in search of our good news. Come, come, little children, teens, young adults and elders, come families in great diversity. Come to this loving home and sage harbor, but do not find a place to escape the world. This is a place of community, engagement, and of creativity. We come together to create boldly and dangerously. We must create the beloved community with an awareness of how difficult it is because it is hard work. It is work that challenges us to bring our whole selves and engage deeply for the long haul. Our faith, our tradition, must call us into community. Our task is to create spaces where we might know and value each other. I am here, just like offering my life story as a gift to Unitarian Universalism, as a gift. gift to you. When we welcome all of our stories into the DNA of our faith, we add value, richness, and depth. The inclusion of my story in all your stories expands the vision of who we are and what we can become. To be the beloved community, we must know that we care for each other as beloveds, not merely in the abstract, but in the particular and the personal. Wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, can we share our stories of pain and joy, memory and hope? Can we be beloved to one another? So often we are hurt and hurting when we get to the door. We need to forgive ourselves and each other in order to go further forward into deeper relationship. Maybe some people cannot even walk through the door until there is first an acknowledgement of the need to say a word of forgiveness. Forgiveness almost at first meeting. Our isolation from one another may be so great. Our individual and ancestral pain so deep as to cry out for reconciliation from the start. And this reconciliation is something else that begins with listening. We must listen to our stories. To reconcile, we need to make peace with the past, not by ignoring it, but by looking at it clearly from many sides, and then to move into renewed relationship. We must gain and grow from our knowledge of each other. We have all experienced times of pain, grief, and conflict that have separated us. We all need to be reconciled with something or someone. Here in our faith, we can try to forgive when forgiveness is possible. Our ears open to hear each other's voices. Our eyes ready to see each other clearly. Our hearts enlarged to hold each other's pain and joy. Our arms entwined in embrace as we journey. Friends, don't give up. Don't stop listening to one another.
There is something magical about being 16. 16 is so close to adulthood. 16 is freedom at your fingertips without any of the crushing pressure of reality. 16 sounds like music blasting far too loud over your car radio as you drive through dark residential neighborhoods with your best friends. 16 tastes like cupcakes you make one Tuesday afternoon on a whim. 16 feels like the warm June sun on your skin. 16 smells like freedom. 16 is the year that a lot of responsibility is handed to you. Firmly in high school, learning to drive, preparing to be a grown-up. 16 isn't a little kid anymore. Suddenly, at 16, you maybe aren't relying on your parents to pack you a lunch and get you to school on time every morning. Those things are on you now. A lot of things are on you now. I don't think it's a coincidence that 16 was around the time that a lot of my friends stopped coming to church. You see, 16 is also unbelievably busy. You're in school 8 hours a day, and when that ends, straight off to extracurriculars. When you find find a spare moment in the shuffle. Maybe you fit in a little bit of homework. Ideally, there's time to hang out with friends somewhere in there. Don't get me started on sleep. In the middle of all that, how can you expect a teenager to carve out a couple of hours to come to church, especially on a Sunday morning? That's one of our 2 days to sleep in. Mom and Dad can go worship whatever god or gods they want. I'm staying home to worship Tithonus, which is the Greek god of sleep. But when I was 16, I was just coming into my own here at church. At 16, my relationship to church and to this congregation changed. At 16, when I started to explore what faith meant to me, when I began considering a future in ministry, when I took on leadership at church, this congregation grounded me and offered me opportunities to explore. Everything started to shift the year I was a sophomore in high school. I was getting ready to leave the dance company I had been with for 5 years, which held rehearsals on Sunday mornings that I had consistently attended instead of coming to church. At 16, I was excited to be getting back to church. I found myself wanting to attend the grown-up services. I had come of age the year before, so I began to attend the high school youth group on the days that I could make it to church. Of course, the reality was much different than I had imagined. I didn't really enjoy youth group that first year. It didn't feel like church to me, and I started to fear that the faith I had left behind in favor of dance classes had moved on in a direction that I did not recognize. That summer, I was determined to make a change. The next fall, I was ready to take on some leadership and make youth group a spiritually engaging space again. I had resources and passion and a plan. But come Sunday morning, I found myself almost alone. That year, we had pretty low attendance, as all of the friends I had as a kid in middle school had stopped attending church the year before. It seemed like as I was growing up in this church, all of my friends and peers were growing out of it. Over the last 2 years that I was involved in youth group, I loved the changes I saw. I loved to be over there in the cottage, even on days when it was just me and maybe one other youth and our 2 adult advisors. Even if I was the only one who loved the group, at least it was a space that I could love again. And then, almost a year ago, I moved to Walla Walla, Washington to attend college. The closest Unitarian Universalist church is about an hour away. I have never felt more distant from my Unitarian Universalist faith than I did throughout the past year. And yet, my personal faith and conviction never wavered. Despite the physical distance, I've also never felt more connected to my faith. I know that even from hundreds of miles away, this church was cheering for me. This faith, this church, and this congregation, you are knitted so tightly to who I am. No matter how far away I roam, I will always find a home here. I grew up in this church. I came of age in this church. I entered into adulthood in this church in a very literal way. My 18th birthday fell on a Sunday, and I spent over 4 hours here on that day. As I told the youth group that morning, there was literally nowhere in the world I would have rather been. But I also bridged out of adulthood, out of youthhood, and into young adulthood a little over a year ago in this very sanctuary. So many milestones in my life can be marked by my position in this congregation. The year I went away to a Unitarian Universalist Association leadership school and came back, ready to take over youth group, you all welcomed me back with enthusiasm. When I attended summer seminary, expressed my first interest in ministry, you were all eager to ask me questions about my experience. When I returned early this summer from my first year at standing in the pulpit, playing my ukulele, sitting over in that corner with my mom and brother, or 700 miles away, you always have my back. Growing up in this congregation meant that there were a handful of hymns that I feel I have always known. The hymns we sang every other week in service, the songs that looped in my mind, the lyrics and melodies I will never forget. When I think about those hymns, the ones that frequently populate my childhood memories, both in this church and beyond, the Spirit of Life immediately comes to mind. I remember singing it in worship, humming it to myself throughout the week, learning the movements that accompany the lyrics that we learned earlier this morning. If I were to create a soundtrack to my life, I think that Spirit of Life would be a track that accompanies 7 to 9 year old Allison. But more recently, throughout the past few years, this little hymn seems to have begun popping up again. Whether it's the tune in the back of my head, or this congregation singing it on one of the Sundays that I have been lucky enough to attend this year, I've been thinking about Spirit of Life a lot recently. As a child, I didn't think of it as a song that held meaning. The lyrics were, and are to this day, ingrained somewhere in my mind that I don't need to work to access. The words tumble from my lips, a jumble of sounds that don't necessarily form distinct words. It wasn't until recently that I paused and really thought about what this hymn means. And as I've considered this meaning, one lyric clearly stands out. Roots hold me close, wings set me free. That is what church, what Unitarian Universalism, what this congregation has always been to me. You have been a constant in the background of my childhood. Familiar names and faces and words and melodies. You have held me close, kept my feet on the ground, but all the while, you have offered me opportunities I would never have elsewhere. When I wanted to fly, you let me soar. This congregation has been the roots to hold me close and the wings that set me free. My challenge for you today is to do this for other young people in the community, because I worry that you've not. While you were rallying behind me, I fear that other youth and young adults have felt abandoned. I challenge you, you as Unitarian Universalist, you as a member of this congregation, you as a member of the greater community, to go out and make all of the young people you know feel welcome and at home at the Unitarian Universalist Church. In our denomination, and in a lot of religious communities in the United States, there's a struggle to retain young people. As children become teenagers, and teenagers become young adults, we find ourselves discerning whether or not the spiritual home we were raised in is a faith we feel we belong to. So the challenge I offer is a difficult one. I am asking you to make a space for a group that may not want that space in the first place. And I'm not suggesting we go door to door like the Mormons. I'm not asking you to picket like the Fundamentalist Baptists. I am not even asking you to hand out leaflets or Seven Principle bookmarks or table at public events. Not that those last few things are bad ideas. But no, I am asking you to engage with your young people in a new way. I am asking you to express interest in that high school student's activities. Find out what the middle school group is doing. See if you can volunteer to help. Teach religious education and form meaningful bonds with the children at the Bridge House. Stop by the high school youth group instead of attending a Sunday service. Sit in the back of the sanctuary back there and talk to the youth who like to hide there. I was one of those very ones. So I know. Volunteer as a mentor for coming of age and attend youth events. I'm asking you to do more than just welcome us into your space. We do not need to be welcomed. We have always been here. When you see us, too long introducing myself as Lisa Oakes' daughter. You have no idea the thrill I got the first time I heard my mother introduce herself as Allison Black's mom. I should not have had to attend this church for 12 years, be teaching religious exploration, participating in Sunday services, and be the youth leader of the high school youth group at the same time, in order to be affirmed as a unique individual and participant in this congregation. I love you, Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis. I really, really do. But I spent too many years being the token youth. It drove away some of my friends and allowed others to become complacent and uninvolved. My faith never wavered, but was that at the cost of the faith of others? So I repeat my challenge to you. What can you do to make this faith, this church, and this congregation a home for the young people in your communities? How are you going to invite the young people you know into this space? What will you do to make sure they keep coming back? I want to thank you. Every single one of you has contributed to my being here today. And now, I challenge you to do that for as many other young people as you can. Because being 16 is hard. Being 13 is hard. Being 8 is hard. I think that this church can help lift some of that burden. But it's going to take some work. Can you do that for me? I now invite you into a time of prayer and meditation. Our prayer this morning is A Web of Holy Relationships by Lynn Cox. Spirit of Life, who draws us together in a web of holy relationships, make your presence known with us and in us and among us. Remind us that we are not alone in history. Ignite us with the courage of the living tradition. Remind us that we are not alone in entering the future. Anchor us with patience and perseverance. Remind us that we are not alone in our times of grief and pain. Comfort us with your spirit. Manifest in human hands and voices. Remind us that we are not alone in joy and wonder. Inspire us to honor and extend the beauty we find in this world. Divine music of the universe, let our hearts beat in diverse and harmonious rhythms, cooperating with an everlasting dance of love. May we move with the rhythms of peace. May we move with the rhythms of compassion. May we move with the rhythms of justice. Source of stars and planets and water and land, open our hearts to all of our neighbors. Open our souls to a renewal of faith. Open our hands to join together in the work ahead. So be it. Let it be. And amen.
With all of the loss we felt in this community, I'm also aware that our nation is grieving the pain of 3 mass shootings in 1 week across our country. It feels like too much to bear. So if you have a heavy heart and a mournful mind and would like someone to talk to, know that Reverend Beth, Reverend Morgan, and I are all available this week. Pastoral care. Feel free to call or email to have a phone call or to schedule an appointment. We are here for you, as is the Caring Council. You do not have to do it alone. So let us now extinguish our chalice, the symbol of our faith. Let us extinguish these pillar candles for the joys we have brought, knowing that they have been multiplied by being shared, and the sorrows, knowing knowing that they've been lessened by the community of love. And we extinguish this chalice, but not the warmth of community, the beauty of truth, or the light of justice. Let us carry this in our heart until we return. Friends, please continue standing, rising in body and or spirit. Reach out and make that human connection. Our closing words this morning come from Wayne B. Arneson.
Take courage, friends.
The way is often hard.
The path is never clear.
And the stakes are very high.
Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone.
Friends, our worship has ended, but our service has just begun. Let the people say amen.
Amen.